The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Some of you guys were at the pool party, weren't you? Yeah. Did you see me walk on water? Did you? Cool, man. Well, let's just leave it at that. Now maybe there'll be a rumor. You could swim? Good for you. Oh, okay, you kept walking. Well, it's true, I did walk on water. Some of the kids splashed water up on the cement, and I walked on it. Get it? Yeah. So if I walked on water, it'd be a pretty neat party trick, wouldn't it? But when Jesus walks on water, when Jesus walks on water, it demonstrates something about Jesus. It demonstrates his authority over the wind and the waves and the water. Jesus has authority. Is there another word in that word authority that you know? Authority. Huh? Author. What's an author? Isn't it someone who writes something? Does anybody know like who the author of like Junie Bean Jones books are or anything? Who's the author of those books? Carter knows? Is it somebody named Barbara Parks? Yeah. She's written a lot of Junie Bean Jones books. I know some of you guys read those. And you know what? The author of a story is the only one who gets to change the story. Did you know that? You can't change a Junie Bean Jones book or its story, but the author can. So guess what? When Jesus walks on water, it shows us that he has authority over not only the water, the wind and the waves and the sea, but Jesus has authority over life. And he can change our life story. He really can. He can change it. And he has changed it. When Jesus went to the cross, he changed your story. He said, "You belong to me now, and you will have life." That's pretty neat, huh? That Jesus is the author of our story, of our life. And so not only does he change our future, giving us life, but he changes our today. He says, "You can have life today in my name. You don't have to wait until some distant future. You can have life right now, right here, right now. And it will be a good life. Trust me," he says, "follow me. Look to me, call on me. He's with us." Shall we pray? Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thanks for your love. and for your willingness to die on the cross, to change our story from death to life. Keep us in your life, now and always. Amen. Thanks for coming up today, you guys. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white. They are what? Precious in his sight. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So with that idea in mind that Jesus is the author of life, I'd like to ask you today, who is the author of your life? Here's another little riddle that I maybe have you finish. Frank Sinatra would say, I'm the author of my life. Why? Because I did it my way, right? I did it my way. If you're not old enough to know that song, you should look it up on YouTube or something. I'm sure it's out there. I did it my way, Frank saying. I am the author of my own life. Well, the truth is, Rod Hopp would like to, on most days, would like to say, I'm the author of my life or my story as well. And I believe most Americans would, on most days, like to say, I am the author of my own life. We have that rugged, individualistic, pull yourself up by your bootstraps mentality. The Word of God has something to say about that mentality and that theology. In the past 4 to 5 weeks before last Sunday, we heard parables. We heard one parable after another that Jesus told us, revealed to us the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Starting last week, and again this week, we hear stories of Jesus that demonstrate his authority or authorship over heaven and earth. Last week, Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children on 5 loaves and 2 fish, or is it 2 loaves and 5 fish? I always get that mixed up, but Jesus fed a whole lot of people on just a few morsels. As Pastor Zach was preaching last week, it occurred to me that it wasn't so much about the bread that Jesus was feeding people. It was more about the fact that Jesus was the manna in the wilderness at that moment. He was the one who fed them. He gave of himself in that moment in a way that gave life like no other. It also demonstrates that Jesus was with the Father when bread was created out of thin air. When the ancient people were coming out of Egypt, out of slavery, Jesus was with the Father when the manna was given. It wasn't the first time a miracle of feeding happened. That's what happens when Jesus is around and when God is active. In today's text, Jesus, it seems, is the wind from God blowing over the waters. This story of Jesus walking on water demonstrates that Jesus has been there with the Father from the very beginning. In the beginning, a wind from God blew over the waters, Genesis tells us. A wind from God blew over the waters, and God said, let there be life, and there was, and it was good. Jesus was there from the beginning. Jesus is the author and the giver of life. Who is the author of your life? Peter was Jesus' most bold disciple, it seems. He was the most likely to say, I'll do it my way. He says, Lord, if it's really you, command me to come to you on the water. And so Jesus says, come. Peter does, and he does well until he notices the wind and the waves and he begins to sink. And it's there in the midst of that storm, in the midst of that moment when the rock starts to sink, that he cries out, "Say, Lord, save me." He realizes in that moment that he is not the author of his life, but that the God of life and the author of life who stands before him in the flesh of Jesus Christ, is the author of his life and the one who has the power to save him. And so he cries out, "Lord, Lord, save me." And you can just picture it as he reaches out to Jesus. Jesus takes him by the hand and leads him into the boat. Jesus demonstrates that he is the author and giver of life. Peter's incident with Jesus reminds me of Psalm 69. It's not our psalm for the day, although the psalm for the day is a beautiful and poetic and truth-telling psalm. The psalm that I'm reminded of in this text from Matthew chapter 14 is Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come up into deep waters, and the floods sweep over me. More in number than the hair of my head are those who hate me without cause. Many are those who would destroy me. The psalmist's enemies, they want to be the author of the psalmist's life. They want to determine the future of this author, this psalm author. And so the psalmist cries out as Peter did when there's that realization that one cannot save oneself, when one cannot create one's own life. Save me, O God. Lord, save me. How deep? How deep do you and I have to get before we realize that we are not the authors of our own lives? The author of Psalm 69 was in up to his neck. And he finally cries out, "Save me, O God." You see, your enemy and my enemy, the enemy of the church, the enemy of light, the enemy of God, the enemy of goodness, the enemy of hope, wants to determine your future and my future. That enemy wants us to buy into the fear of the other. That enemy wants us to fear and to build walls around ourselves, to protect ourselves from those who are not like us. That enemy wants to destroy our hope in the future and determine the end of our life story. But Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. It's Christ who lives in me. Say that with me. It is Christ who lives in me. You see, like the disciples, Jesus gathers us like the disciples. Jesus sends us out. He sends us out ahead of him into the world. A world of chaos and darkness at times. He sends us into this world of chaos and dread. And he fills us with bread and with wine and with good things, with life, with himself. And he says, now that you are filled and fed, go with the good news. And he sends us ahead of him, trusting that when we get there, he will meet us. And sometimes the rowing gets tough. And most of the time, we get distracted with writing our own story, with doing things our own way, and thinking that we're writing our own story. And then a storm comes up, and we begin to sink, and like Peter and like the psalmist, we cry out, "Lord, Lord, save me." There's a character in the classic work Don Quixote named Pancho Sanchez. And in one scene, Pancho Sanchez hangs in fear from a ledge of a window all night long, too frightened to let go. When morning dawns, he discovers that his toes were only an inch off the ground the whole time. Isn't that how we live life too often? Too afraid to let go, too afraid to give ourselves into the grasp of God, fearing that somehow if we let go, God won't catch us, fearing somehow that if we let go of this idea that we can write our own story, that it will somehow turn out worse. But the rock has been there. The rock of Jesus Christ has been there from the beginning. And he continues day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, continues to call us to let go. To entrust our story into his hands, into his care and keeping. The Apostle Paul says, the word is near you, it's on your lips and in your heart. The word with a capital W is on your lips and in your heart. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, author and giver of life, and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God raised him from the dead. And through that, your story is changed. Your future is secure. Your sins are forgiven. And life, the life of God, is poured out upon you. Dear friends, when your story needs to be rewritten, when you need a fresh start, when you are tired and beaten down by the storms of life, let go. Let go, for there is a foundation beneath you. There is a God beneath you who will catch you. Call upon the name of the Lord, the author and giver of life, and he will change your direction. He will rewrite your story. He will take you by the hand and lead you back into the boat of life. Jesus has written your future. He's rewritten your future. He has defeated the final enemy who wants to be the author of your life. And that enemy is death. And he has given you life. In Isaiah 43, we read this promise. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. Jacob was given a new name, wasn't he? And that name was Israel. And in that new name, Jacob was given a new story. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, say your name, he who created you, Rod. Say your name, he who formed you, Rod. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Your Savior, the author and the giver of your life. Amen.